Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. What beautiful weather for the second day of August. Can you believe it? Woo! The Lord is still in control.
Amen.
Turn with me to page number 23. We're going to sing about the power in the blood. Page 23. Okay, second verse, same as the first, a little bit louder and a whole lot worse. Here we go.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Well, let me see if I turn my mic on. There's power in the blood, but there's no power in the mic if you don't turn it on. Oh, and by the way, if we forget to start the camera for Facebook, because we're talking, so. Technology is wonderful if we can just figure out how to get it all together. Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. 60 degrees this morning at the house, and beautiful, beautiful morning for February. Wait a minute. That's what I said yesterday. Cindy looked at me like I was crazy, but it's a beautiful day. And sure don't seem like August, but we'll take it. Enjoy the blessings that God has given us. I wouldn't get too comfortable, though. Like Russ said, we still have a lot of summer left ahead of us. But we'll take what we can get. And I don't ever remember in my lifetime an August 1st or 2nd that's cool. And I don't believe I've ever remembered the grass being as green. It's just absolutely wonderful outside. Cindy and I took a little drive yesterday just to kind of get out, and tired of being cooped up. And every time we plan to go anywhere for a day or two, it's all got messed up because of all the stuff that's going on. So we just got out and drove around, didn't know where we were going. And everywhere we went, the grass was green, the weather was wonderful, the birds were singing, squirrels were playing. Some of them didn't even want to get out of the road. I guess they were enjoying it as well. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. I thank each and every one of you for coming. And some that we haven't seen in a while, it's good to see you. To all of our Facebook friends and YouTube friends, we're glad to have you here this morning as well. Just join with us as we do the best that we can to worship God and honor and serve Him. Everything that we do here today, we want to be for His honor and glory. Some announcements, not very many, but a few. This morning, the building fund offering. So as you leave, or if you haven't already, our offerings or tithes and offerings go on the table back there in the basket. There's a note back there for the building fund offering, so keep that in mind as you leave. If you're out there and in the airwaves, you can mail in your tithes and offerings like you've been doing. We appreciate it. God will bless you for that. We still have stuff going on here. We haven't stopped. Seems like the weather and everything's kind of slowing us down just a little bit, but we're not stopping. So we're moving forward. Keep that in mind. Tonight, saying that is our business meeting. And we do have a few things to talk about. It's not a real busy time because of a lot of things, but we still are moving forward. So come if you can tonight at 6 for our business meeting. All right, any other announcements? Have I missed anything?
Turn with me to page number 96. Page 96.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. And the cross, at the cross where I first saw light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can bear repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there my faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Page number 115. Page 115. We have a real treat coming up this morning. I get excited. I get so excited I make the phones ring. I always like to introduce this young fella. Dwight Ford and his beautiful wife, Dixie, are going to do a special for us this morning. Dwight's got one of the best lead voices in the country, and I know that for a fact because I sing in a group with him. And I always love to hear him sing. After we get through with this, they're going to come up and do one for us. But let's sing 115.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict, it is his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
Thank you.
If I have failed to comfort my brother, if he needs help and I turn him away, if I have caused to your heart disappointment, please, Lord, forgive the way that I've lived and teach me thy ways and teach me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and teach me to hear what you'd have to say. Help me to bear the cross you have given. Hold to my hand, help me to stand, and teach me thy way. When I must speak to those who don't know you, when I grow tired from a long weary day, when I must wait from heaven, give me thy grace and increase my faith and teach me thy ways. And you must teach me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and teach me to hear what you'd have to say. Help me to bear the cross you have given. Hold to my hand, help me to stand, and teach me thy ways. Hold to my hand, help me to stand, teach me thy way.
Well, I hope you listen to the words of that song. Thank you. To both of you. We are truly blessed here at Oak Hill to have so many talented people, and we appreciate you sharing your talents with us and praising God. It's always amazing to me that God lays a sermon on my heart, and when I'm sitting here waiting on my turn and listening to the music that Brother Gene picks out and the specials that come along, God has a way of working this all out. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about our walk, that's part of the words of the song, teach me to walk. And it's important that we understand that. And so y'all pray for me this morning. In the last several weeks and maybe even months, we've talked a lot about many things concerning the condition of the world that we're in. And we've talked about this virus over and over again that has disrupted all of our lives and changed the way that we do basically everything we do. Changed the way that we work, changed the way that we interact with people, has changed the way that we have church services. We have missed out and are going to miss out on many things that we've held as tradition for years and hundreds of years, actually. And no homecoming this year, and that's terrible to me to not have it. And it should be here in the next week or two. We're not going to have it. So this virus and not only the virus, but the political turmoil that our nation is in is absolutely trying to change the very fabric of who we are. We need to hold tight to our convictions and our beliefs in Jesus Christ and God Almighty, because nothing that happens in this world is going to change what He has in store for us. We've talked extensively about how it just don't seem like this is going to ever end. And I keep hearing and even am guilty of saying that I'll be glad when things get back to normal. You know, in all honesty, I'm not sure it will ever get back to the normality that we once had. Most likely, our whole life and the things that we do are going to be changed somewhat. I do pray and hope that it gets back close to what we had before, but if you'll just be honest with yourself and think, and over the years, every time that something like this has happened, it never completely goes back to like it was before. Each time we give up a little bit of ourselves, a little bit of our freedom, a little bit of our independence, it may go back to a semblance of that, but we never get it all back. It's just the way that seems to be. So I don't know if it'll ever end. Most likely not until Jesus comes back. We've talked about the signs of the times that it seems to me that it's very close or could be very close to the second coming of Christ. If you read the book, all of it, from beginning to end, you'll see that Jesus is coming back, and all these things that we're struggling with now are leading up to that coming back. So are you ready? Well, the first step of being ready, obviously, is salvation. But I submit to you today that that's just the first step. As Dwight's song said, teach me to walk. Teach me to walk one day at a time to get closer. Jesus is coming back, and it seems like it could be soon. But until He does, here's what I want to focus on this morning. We, church, we born-again believers, we Christians worldwide have a job to do. And so tighten up your belt. Shore up your fortitude. Let's get busy, because we have stuff to do. In our series on the church, we talked a lot about God's people. God's people, you know, His children, the saints, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those of us who believe and trust and have trusted Jesus Christ with our eternal destiny. We, Christian brother and sister, are the light of the world. And without us, this world has no light. And until Jesus comes back, be it what it is, however it may look at this time, it's still up to us to share the light. Remember the children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. That light shining is the Christian in this world of darkness. This world that we live in, I think you would all agree with me, could use a little bit of light. There's a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of things going on, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. I want to tell you about that light this morning. That light is serving a true and risen Savior. This world could use a little light. This world needs the light of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to me for just a moment this morning. Here's what I want to talk about. Serving. Serving. Serving actually means putting others in front of self. Serving is following a directive that's laid out. Serving is very different from being saved. As I said a while ago, and as I say all the time, salvation is the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, because in it, your eternal destiny is sealed. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. You're going to be with Him for all eternity. But while we're here on this earth, no matter what condition this world is in, we, brother and sister, are to serve God. Serving's different. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for Jesus Christ. I thank God for His grace. I thank God for those who are going to get into heaven just by the skin of their teeth, as the old saying goes, saved so as by fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I forgot to give you a list of scriptures as we started. I'll try to give you time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, I want you to understand this morning, so listen closely, please. We don't serve God to gain a reward. We serve God because He loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, that because of what He did, we might live. We don't serve God for a reward. We serve God because of the gift that He has given us, because we choose to love Him, because we choose to serve Him. There will be those that stand before Jesus Christ in judgment, that when they are judged, they will get into heaven, no doubt, because of their salvation, but their reward will only be that, nothing else. I want you to know something this morning, that the lowest reward, if you will, if you want to put it that way, in heaven is better than the highest station, if you will, in hell. Hell is a place, my friend, that you don't want any part of. And that's why we serve a true and risen Savior, because of what He's done. God, undoubtedly, the Scripture tells about it, and if you look around and if you examine yourself, you will see this to be true. God rewards those who diligently seek Him. You see that little word, diligent? Diligently is the way it's worded in the Scripture. But that requires work. It requires dedication. It requires determination on our part. But when we determine, when we dedicate ourselves to the service of God, that service does not go into the oblivion. God remembers what we do. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. Don't cruise through life with the attitude, well, I'm saved and that's all I need. Although that is a great thing, let me tell you something, friend, when you stand before Jesus, if that's all you have, you're going to regret not serving during this lifetime. Don't go through life on autopilot, missing the greatest blessings that God would give you, not only in this life, but in the afterlife, in the rule and reign of Christ, and even into eternity. God has great plans for you. God has great things in store for you. Don't miss those blessings just because you're cruising through, living the good life, as we would say it here. Because in all reality, the good life is serving God. That's where we get true peace and happiness. For several days now, I've had the Apostle Paul on my heart. I kept thinking and going over what a life he lived, raised as one of privilege. He had the best that could be had in his time. He was an elite, one of the elite young men of the world. He had the best of everything. He had the best education. He had the best teacher. If you remember, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most, if not the most, sought after teachers in the Word back then. He was bound for greatness in the eyes of men, charged by religious leaders to carry out torture on Christians, given the power and the authority to bind them and throw them in prison and torture them. He stood by while Christians were stoned to death, holding the coats, the cloaks of those who stoned him. We talked about Stephen just a little bit in class this morning. He was an amazing man. It's another sermon for another day. He was a servant. He served God. Paul had his whole life planned out, and then he met Christ on the road to Damascus. You're talking about changing your direction in life. When you meet Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He will change your very outlook on life. He will change your direction in life if you will but just follow. Just follow Him. Acts chapter 9. I love the book of Acts as well. I love all the Word because it's God's Word. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And Saul, he's the one that later became Paul. Listen to this, because, well, I want you to know that, well, I'll say it in a minute. I'll get ahead of myself. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. This way, meaning Christians, followers of Jesus. In verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. You think this might have had a little bit of impact on Saul, the meeting of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? I want you to know something, friend. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you go back to that time in your life, that is your meeting of Christ on the road to Damascus. He changed your life when you accepted Him as Lord and Savior. You're not the same person you were before. Saul was not the same man after he met Jesus. Lord, what would you have me do? Ask yourself that question this morning. Like Saul, if you've met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, can you truthfully say that you've asked God, Lord, what would you have me do? Oh, be careful when you say it, because God may require action on your part. Oh, don't be scared, because He won't ask you to do anything He doesn't equip you to do. Have you said, Lord, what would you have me do? Read the rest of this when you have a chance, but it goes like this. God called Ananias and told him to go to Saul. Ananias said, I know this man, and of the bad deeds that he's done and the evil that he's perpetrated against the saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was like many of us today. Lord, oh, why don't you just let someone else do it? Why send me, Lord? Why not send Gene? Lord, why send me? Why not send Lawrence? You see, any of y'all can do what I do. If the Lord calls you to it, you just have to submit. But like Ananias, many times we say, that's not really what I want to do, God. Give me something else. But you see, the whole truth of the matter is that when God calls us to a purpose, God equips us to fulfill that purpose. And if you don't do it, I'm just going to tell you right now, you're going to miss a blessing that you would never get. Oh, God's will and God's purpose will still be carried forth, and it will happen, but the blessing you might have gotten, someone else will get. In verse 15, Jesus says, go thy way to Ananias, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. I want you to know something, Christian brother and sister, this morning. You are a chosen vessel unto God. You are. God chose you. The Holy Spirit led you. And when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a child of the King. I stand before you this morning, a highly favored child of the King. Praise the Lord. You, my friend, are a chosen vessel unto the Lord when you accept Him as Lord and Savior. We're changed when we meet Jesus. You're not the same person you were before. Might I just say this? Please listen closely, friend. Our purpose in life changes as well. We are supposed to submit. God calls us to submit to His will in our life, and our purpose becomes focused on what God would have me do, not what I would have me do. For that, we are all about self and self-indulgence. Before our salvation experience, we're focused on what I want, what I desire, and how do I get it. After our salvation experience, we should be focused on what can I do to further the purpose of Christ. We have trouble with that, it seems, at times, sometimes more than others. And the longer that we go in this age, the worse it gets. People are selfish. People are self-absorbed. People are more worried about what they can do to have pleasure in this life instead of what they can give to others that they may have eternal life. You see, church, without us, this world has no hope. We born-again believers want to have the assurance of salvation, but many times we just want to live in the world like our friends that don't know Jesus. If we're honest with ourselves, that's what many of us are doing right now. Stop what you're doing. Think. What would God have me do? Do your friends know how important serving God, serving Jesus is to you? Or do they just see you go to church occasionally or maybe on Sunday morning and Monday morning? Can't tell us apart. Stop and think. The question that we all need to answer and be honest is this. Am I serving God the way that He would have me to? Or am I serving God the way that I want to? There's a big difference in that question. God, what would you have me do? God, help me get self out of the way. Do the people I work with know from my everyday life that I belong to Jesus? Do the people I come in contact with every day know that I serve a true and living God? Or am I just skipping by having a good time in life? I want you to know this morning that when you serve God, truly serve God, you truly do have a good time in life, because God, Jesus Christ, is the best friend you'll ever have. And unlike our earthly friends, He'll never let us down. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning in verse 19. You've heard this read many times. I know you've read it many times, but I think it's so vitally important in the message for the day and for the message of the world. And we Christians need to understand this. I hope you've got this scripture underlined and highlighted in your Bible. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Is there anybody here that don't have a safe in their house? What do you put in it? Your valuables, the things that are important. Listen, what we truly need to be doing is laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where the safe is God Almighty, where our valuables will never tarnish. No one can get them because they're in the safe hands of God. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. No truer saying has ever been said than that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Did you hear what Jesus said? If your eyes focused on one thing, that's what you'll do. Christian brother and sister, our eye today needs to be focused on serving Him, not self. In this time that we live in where it seems like everyone's thoughts are on what can I do to have fun in this world, we need to back up and stop and think that tomorrow, today, might be the last day on this earth. Whatever's in your safe at home is not going with you when you go to heaven. Only what you send forward and put in the safe of God. Lay up for your treasures. When you do that, I want to tell you how you do it right quick. It's real easy. Serve God. Oh, but preacher, I can't do that. What's God calling you to do? He will equip you. But I'm not as good as Gene or Dwight singing. Praise the Lord, God gave him a special talent along with others in this congregation. He didn't give me. But truly what the Word says is make a joyful noise. Isn't that amazing? God hears the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Amen. That's what gives God glory. Who are you? We serving today? Are we serving God? Or are we serving self? Are we serving God? Are we serving mammon? There's not an in-between. You got to get off the fence. Where are your treasures? Paul got it. Paul got it when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he spent the rest of his life serving God. Go over and read. Read the account of Paul's life in the Word. Look at the Bible and see how much of the Bible was written by the Apostle Paul through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at what he did. Paul got it. Many of our forefathers, they got it. They risked everything, so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we have today to stand in a church and proclaim Jesus Christ and Him risen, to be able to stand and broadcast on YouTube and Facebook that I serve a risen Savior and His name is Jesus Christ. What are we going to leave to our children? What are we going to leave to our grandchildren? Serve, walk, take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. Do we get it? Do we get it? Or do we just play like it occasionally? You see, I believe this is an important, vitally important question that we Christians need to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Am I serving God to the best of my ability? And you know why that's important? Because we are the light of the world. And without us, the saints, the born-again believers, the rest of the world has no hope. Because only through Jesus Christ is there peace and happiness. Only through Jesus Christ is there assurance of better things to come. Who are we going to elect as president? I don't know. But I do know this, no matter who's elected, God's still in control. That's who we serve. That's who I serve. Sometimes not as good as I could. Examine yourself. Are we afraid that we may have to sacrifice a little bit of what we want to do to serve God? Well, let me just tell you, without a doubt, some of the greatest joys in life come from serving God. Lead someone to the Lord. See that light in their eyes as they accept Jesus Christ. Be a part of making someone's life different. Are we afraid, though, that we might have to sacrifice just a little to serve God the way that He demands we should? Could it be that I can't go places that are displeasing to God? Could it be that I shouldn't drink that adult beverage, if that's what you want to call it, because it sends the wrong message to my friends? Could it be that I shouldn't watch that movie because of the message it's sending? God requires our undivided dedication to His plan. What message are we sending today? God demands that we pay attention to His plan, to His purpose, for His honor and glory, not ours. That comes later. It's in the rewards. God won't forget you. God wants to bless you. But you've got to serve Him. We need to get ourselves out of the way of God's purpose and start digging in our heels and pulling our weight toward God's purpose and plan in our life, in our world, in our nation. Oh, and it goes on down in our cities, in our families. It's up to us. Oh, I just wish Jesus would come back and end all this suffering. I've said that many times, and let me tell you, I'm ready. I am ready. If Jesus comes back right now, I'm ready. All this conflict we're going through, I'm so ready to get rid of all this mess that we see if we turn on the TV, if we listen to the radio, and get into a world, if you will, a realm where God's in control. I'm ready. But as long as God leaves us here, we, brother and sister, must focus on the fact that God isn't ready yet. How do you know, preacher? Hadn't sent Jesus back. How will you know, preacher, when I'm gone up and given my glorified body or raised from the dead? Praise the Lord. It's going to be God's time. Amen. Until then, we still have a lot of work to do. If you don't believe it, just open your eyes and look around at what's going on in the world. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. I'll try to move along. I don't want to keep you too long. Sam and Donna's going to be gone for 2 or 3 weeks. I might ought to preach another hour. Oh, they can get it on Facebook. That's right. Philippians 1 and 12. Paul speaking, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, think of all the things that happened to Paul. After he accepted Jesus Christ, he was imprisoned. He was beaten. He was rejected. Many things. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Go and read it. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You hear what Paul's saying? Because of the things that I went through, and because of the stand that I made for Jesus, many of the brethren are able to stand. Who are you propping up, friend? Who are you lifting up so that they might go boldly and proclaim Jesus Christ? Some, in verse 15, preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. according to my earnest expectation of my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. You see, Paul's saying what we should each and every one be saying to God and to our brothers and sisters, that no matter what happens to me, I'm going to go forth boldly and proclaim my Savior lives. The gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 21. Paul says it very plainly. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For us to still be here, church, is Christ shared with the world. When we die in Christ, it's gain to us because of all the things that we're going to be taken out of. Can we imagine? Can we truly imagine not being afflicted with this sin nature that we have? Brother and sister, do you struggle with it like I do? It's this nature that's part of us that causes us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. You see, God left us here for a purpose, and that is to proclaim Jesus Christ and Him risen. And when we die, to us it's gain. When I die, brother and sister, sing, rejoice. I'm in the presence of God. But until I die, may I ever be found standing and proclaiming Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Paul was in a strait between the two, having his desire to depart and go to be with Christ, and knowing that God wasn't finished with him here in this life. He towed the line. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. And because of him and his faithfulness, many millions have received Jesus Christ. Because of this church and its faithfulness over the years, over 100 years, many have received Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ don't come back for another 100 years, I pray that someone will stand behind this very pulpit and say, because of the faithfulness in the last 200 years of Oak Hill and her teachings, many more have been saved. We have to decide. We have to choose. I love these scriptures. And we have to realize when we read them that Paul is talking to us, Christians. He's talking to you and I. If we die having received the glory of God through salvation, we're a lot better off than those who are left here. If we die having known Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to be in all of eternity in the presence of God. But Paul says very plainly, to live is Christ, and for us to be left here is for God to plainly tell us that we still have a job to do, and that job is to be faithful, to be true, to be steadfast, and to preach and teach, and go ye therefore into all the world and teach and baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. Look around, people, at the condition of the world. It is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's why we're here. Not to amass wealth, not to have all the pleasures this world can afford, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Those treasures, my friend, I truly believe, are the lost souls that we have a hand in leading to Christ. There's no greater treasure. There's no greater reward. I want to ask you a question this morning, or a couple maybe. Wait a minute, I've already done that, Anna. A couple more then. Is there anyone here or who's listening that can honestly say that our world is better today than it was 50 years ago? How about just 30? 10? 10 years ago? We accept things in our life, in our time, as normal that 10 years ago we vehemently rejected. Just 10 short years ago. People are living lifestyles that is an abomination to God, and we just accept it as normal. Wake up, people. It's time for us to get real about serving God in spirit and in truth. Read the book. Follow the directions. It's laid out for us, black and white and red. I could go down a long laundry list of things that we accept as common in our life today and not pleasing to God. The list is long. It's all listed in the book. Read it. Don't take my word for it. God plainly spells it out. Some of you listening to this sermon will agree with me, and many will know it's the truth but choose to reject it. It's just the facts of life. Let me tell you something, friend. When you stand before Jesus Christ, and He is the judge of all mankind, you can't deny your choice. Ask yourself this other simple question. I had a bunch of questions this morning. Is the life and the stand on godly principles I am standing on today pleasing to God? You see, it don't have to be pleasing to your preacher, your pastor. It don't have to be pleasing to your deacon or your spouse. Is the life you're living, is the stand that you take for God pleasing to Him? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Be honest with yourself. Where are you laying up treasures? Your eternal destiny could be at stake if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is. But your reward is at stake. So be honest with yourself. Listen, if you're hearing this morning, if you're not a child of God, saved by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you can easily fix that. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us that we're saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's not of works. It's not about anything we've done. It's all about what Jesus done. And it's a gift, a free gift of God. Make no mistake, that is the greatest decision you will ever make in your life. And I don't want to downplay the seriousness of it, because it's really, literally life and death. It's heaven and hell. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you've just accepted Him this morning. You start your journey now and you walk that walk from here forward. Maybe you've been saved for many years and you've got off the beaten path, or you've lost your direction. Join the crowd. Many of us have been there. Thank God that Jesus forgives and restores. If you're off the beaten path, if you're off out in the weeds, if you're not where God wants you to be, if you're not living a life that's pleasing to God, you can fix that this morning. Amen. Repent and be healed. Bring yourself back into that right relation with God. You see, God didn't make it complicated. Oh, I didn't say it'd be easy, this life, this walk. It requires dedication. It requires determination. But He made it simple. The simple part of it is that I give 100% of my effort and God does the rest, because my effort is not good enough. Jesus is. God is. He requires our best effort. I know many of your efforts are better than mine because you have more talents than I do, but that's not what's important. What's important is that I use what God gave me to the fullest of my ability. Where are you in your walk with God? Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we'll serve God. Stand with me, please, for a word of prayer. As our song leader and pianist come, all heads are bowed. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, in this day and age that we live, when there's so many things going on, Lord, we acknowledge your supremacy. We acknowledge your power. We acknowledge your will. Lord, I ask for strength that we might focus on what you would have us do, get self out of the way, that we might just take that first step of the rest of our life, dedicate it to serving you. Lord, I pray that if there's any lost that hear this message this morning, that they would accept Jesus before it's eternally too late. Lord, that they would call upon the name of Jesus and that he would save their soul so that they might begin the journey with you. Lord, if there's any that are truly born again, that are backslidden or off out in the weeds and the bushes, not where you would have them to be, you would have us to be, Lord, that you would draw them back and they would submit to your will, that we might focus on the time that we have left on this earth in serving a true and living Savior. Lord, I know that your will be accomplished. And I know what you've done for me. I give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Page 189.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
God's waiting for his people as well as the lost people to turn to him. What's your answer to God this morning? He's given us the word. We've heard the same thing this morning in sermon and song.
Thank you.